What's going on? What's going on? It's your boy, Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Podcast. Listen, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used as a legal, health, or financial advice of any kind. I am not responsible. Let me say this again, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homies, we are not responsible for any losses or damages that may arise as the use of this podcast. This podcast is sponsored to you by Charlie's Music Factory. For all your music production needs, contact Mr. Chris Crane at charliesmusicfactory@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, homies and homettes, I have coming to the stage the singing sensation himself, Mr. Eldrick Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you, Doc?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just glad to be among the land of the living and all that good stuff.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, where are you from?
I'm from originally from Memphis, Tennessee. It's where I was born and raised here in Memphis, Tennessee, the home of Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, home of Elvis Presley and home of the barbecue.
Home of the barbecue. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We do have some good bar.
Yeah. That Memphis barbecue, man, would hit you, man, in the places that you never thought you'd be hit before.
Yeah, well, back in my meat eating days, I've eaten a lot of the Memphis barbecue. Even doing my ribs in the Memphis style barbecue sauce, but I've been a vegetarian for about 2 years. So
wow. What made you go vegetarian?
So I'm a diabetic.
Okay.
And it takes your body longer to process meat than it does vegetables.
Okay.
And so I wanted to get my A1C back in check and all this good stuff. And so I just stopped eating beef, pork, and chicken and just eating fish and a whole lot of vegetables. And right now my A1C is like 5.5.
Oh, man, that's one of the issues that I'm having with keeping my A1C and my blood sugar under control. And so I probably need to follow your diet.
Hey, man, it's tough once you get started, but at one point my A1C was like 13. And it was like, we're gonna put you on an insulin pump. I said, hold up, cuz, time out. let me try some alternative stuff here. So it's worked out for me. I mean, it's a challenge because my wife is still a meat eater, and it makes it difficult. But I think she's, you know, gradually coming on board with the, you know, the no meat thing. So we eat a lot of fish.
Okay. But meat doesn't have carbs. So how did that affect your blood sugar?
Because it takes your body longer to break it down. So a four ounce steak will take 14 days for your body to process it.
Okay.
And get it completely out of your system. So if you eat meat every day, and of course, you got the meat and the carbs along with it together. And if you look historically, we were really not designed to eat meat. We were designed to eat the fruits of the land. But because of the fall of man, and we had to now offer animal sacrifices.
Yep.
Now God didn't want to.
Meat became good. meat became real pretty good.
meat became good, but for a bad reason, you know what I'm saying? They had to eat that fruit. You know, we was all running around naked, you know, having a good time, you know, and eating all the fruits and berries and, you know, looking at good looking berries and fruit running around, but all of a sudden But yeah, look into it.
I will.
It's I know a lot of people that have stopped eating meat. And in addition, we're gonna get to the music in a minute, but since we brought this up. there's a lot of chemicals and stuff that they use in this meat. Like they can have a full grown chicken in 6 weeks ready to be sold. The hormones
and fluffy. Yep.
They look like that baby chicken. Pterodactyls. you ever seen one of them Tyson chicken legs?
Yeah.
Them suckers about that big around, man. I ain't never seen chicken legs.
Yeah.
They look more like Chihuahua legs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I digress. How long you been in music?
Man, I've been in music a long time, man, at least 15, 20 years. If I can even go back further than that, I can remember all the way back to in high school, was when I first got my first scholarship in high school, because I was studying speech and theater through my junior high school years up until my senior year of high school, because I grew up with a speech impediment, and so I stuttered a lot. And so I ended up taking theater and speech to help with my speaking. Huh. But somehow in my senior year of high school, things changed. I decided, hey, I wanted to get in the music department there in my high school. And man, making that one decision, it really, really charted the course for the rest of my music career. Because I started singing in the music department there at high school, and they love my music. They love my voice. They love my singing. I did a lot of solo singing on stage in front of the high school and everything. And I was like, this is kind of cool right here.
Yeah, yeah.
But what really, really charted it for me was that my music instructor at that time flew in. A music director from the Virginia Union University School of Music, and he came down and he was doing some auditions, and so my teacher had me to sing in front of him, and on spot he's like, I got to have you in my choir, man. I got to have you in school, and he offered two music scholarships to Virginia Union University, where I incidentally studied music composition. And that was really my first introduction to the professional side or the more dynamic side of music, because I was able to learn the music keyboarding and chords and keys, and you know, music theory was very heavy in my curriculum at that time. My voice teacher was a professional opera singer. And so we did a lot of traveling, we did a lot of singing. So that bug hit me pretty early, probably 17, 18 years old, going straight out from the college, man. And wow. I've been tinkering at it ever since.
You know, James Earl Jones had a stuttering problem.
Really? Really?
Yeah. And he found out that when he talked deep, he didn't stutter.
Really? Is that right?
So,
I never knew that.
Yeah. Look, I have all these useless facts. It's like, but they all come relevant. Yeah,
you have a lie. You have a lie.
Well, let me ask you a question. So,
yeah,
did you ever do any opera?
No.
I find opera to be so fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, it's. Especially when they, you know, because they, I mean, it's done in a foreign language, it's done in Latin. Is it? Yeah. Oh, is it? So,
yeah.
Is it Latin or Italian?
So, for opera, opera can be in English, it can be in Italian, it can be in different languages, yeah. It just depends on who wrote the opera.
Yeah, because I mean, I was listening, you know, at the four tenors, man, and you hear Pavarotti.
Yeah.
So I just wanted, you know, since you studied under somebody who sung opera, did you get a chance to dabble in opera?
We did. I do remember we did a couple of opera pieces. There was one German a piece where I was able to actually get to learn some German language. There was a wonderful German piece that we did, and we had to dress up, you know, in the theatrics, in the costumes and things like that, and that was a great experience. Yeah, I did get a chance to do that a great deal. Yeah.
So
that was fine.
How was it dressing up in the costumes? Because you didn't have like you didn't have on the tights with the cameo cup, did you?
Man, you can't give me back one. So I do remember in high school, because I told you I studied speech and theater in high school. Yeah. Of course, with theater, you know, you do all kind of had to learn to dance and the cliche, all that stuff. And I do remember in high school, and my theater teacher was like, "Well, you got to put on these leotards, you know, in these tights, you know." And I was tall and skinny, like Michael, like James Earl, JJ, back in the day. Oh, and man. I was like, "No, I'm not putting on tights. I'm not putting on the leotards." And of course, she gave me a C for that class, but because I wouldn't put on leotards, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you couldn't put on the cameo growing cup, huh?
No, I couldn't. I'm sorry, I just couldn't do it. And in college, you know, like I said, we had to full-fledged outfits, shirt and tie and jackets and all that stuff. But no, yeah. We didn't have to do any tights. No.
Yeah, that's funny.
No cups. No cups.
I don't think I can do it. That's a whole lot of people looking at you with that stuff on, man. It's like, kudos to them guys that can. But I just think I would be uncomfortable.
Especially now. I'm much fatter and bigger now than I was back then. So.
aren't we all? I tell you. So how many music projects have you done?
So officially I've done my first actual official recording I did was Your Touch. I wrote a song called Your Touch. I don't know if you were able to find that or see that on my records there. But Your Touch was my first one. I did a song with that was produced by Todd Delaney, which was Walk Around Heaven.
Huh.
After I did the song with Todd Delaney, Walk Around Heaven, then my next single that I recorded and released was Jesus, which is last year, Jesus. Jesus hit the charts, man. Oh, my God, Jesus. I don't know if you were able to find that song as well, but the Jesus hit the charts and it stayed on the gospel music charts, man, for a long time, for a very long time. As a matter of fact, in the top 30s, I think it hit hit number 2 on the gospel charts a couple of times when I was pushing it really, really heavy. But it stayed on the gospel charts and urban influencer charts. You know, media basis stayed on the those charts. Very strongly. Then after I wrote and released a Jesus, which was featuring Michelle Prather. I don't know if you know who Michelle Prather is.
No.
Yep. So check it out. This is an amazing song. And then after that.
Is she from the Prather Singers?
No, Michelle. I don't know. Michelle Prather, she sang with Kurt Carr, the Kurt Carr Singers.
Oh, okay. Different.
Yep, different. Yeah. She's singing with the Kurt Carr and the Kurt Carr Singers, and right now she's from Memphis, but she lives out of Nashville right now.
Okay.
But I wrote that song and I sent it to her, and I was like, Michelle, I would love to have your voice on this song, and so I sent this song to her, and Michelle heard it. She was like, "Boy, this song is amazing." She said, "Yeah, I would love to sing it for you," and she did. She did an amazing job. And like I said, that song stayed on the charts for it. As a matter of fact, it's still on the charts. It's still getting airplay, and it's still on the charts right now. And then after Jesus, then this current one now, Give Peace a Chance, which I released this year. And so those are all the ones that I have officially released.
Yeah, so have you always been gospel?
Pretty much. I have always been gospel. I do write a lot of music that have never been heard before. So there are some songs that I've written that are maybe on the soul R&B side, you know, and not so gospel. But because I grew up churchy, I grew up gospel, and gospel is all I know. I grew up in the church singing and, you know, being a part of the Church of God in Christ music scene pretty much growing up, and worked up on a Mademoiselle Clark and all that stuff. And yeah. And all those people, all those wonderful people growing up. And so my mom kept us in the choir growing up. I was a part of the choir that we had called Starlets, you know, and which is where I really found my singing niche during that time as well. But I have always been more into gospel and gospel choirs and stuff like that. But I do look forward to doing other projects that are not gospel related. I have been tapped on the shoulder for some projects that are coming up that are not so gospel. So, hey, I'm looking forward to a different side of my writing and a different side of my music exposure.
Yeah,
which began with Give Peace a Chance, actually.
And that's where I was going with that, because
yeah.
Give Peace a Chance, I could tell that it's a Christian song. It's a gospel song, but it has that R&B type vibe.
Yeah.
It's an urban song.
It's an urban song. It's an urban song. I did not intentionally write it to be a gospel song. As a matter of fact, after I had produced and everything, I was like, so what genre this song fit in? It has the Christian undertone of peace, because, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that's all the Bible talks about, peace in the midst of the storms and all that the Bible talks about. But I did not intentionally write it to be a Christian or gospel song, even though now it's charting heavily on the Christian or the gospel charts, you know, which I was expecting it to really hit the urban R&B, urban soul charts really heavily, because on some other platforms it is doing that, but on the radio, for some reason the gospel scene is picking it up, and radio and gospel stations are picking it up, and it's charting on media base and everything on the gospel side. So
yeah, I mean, I liked it right off the bat, you know.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, yes, sir. I consider it as urban gospel.
Urban, okay.
Urban gospel.
Is there a category? Is that a genre?
It's a J. Will category. it's a J. Will category, because it's not really R&B.
Yeah.
But it's positive and Christian like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Inspirational.
There you go. Inspirational. So it's, but they have a whole new wave of music out here now. Sure, that's not really true gospel music. It's urban gospel. Cause you know, they talk about Jesus, but the flow of it is so 1980, you know, got that R&B feel to it.
Yeah, make it one of like sit there and, you know, at your car at your spades game, or, you know, in the backyard in the barbecue, and just like it's brutal.
Now you can't play spades, man. Now you grew up coaching.
Boy, don't get in trouble.
You can't play no spades, man.
You will lose every time. They call me the silent killer.
And you know, I grew up coaching.
Yeah, really, really. Okay, cool.
Man,
cool.
My grandmother wouldn't even let us play chess.
No, sir, not at all.
Talking about you trying to win. Like,
that's no, sir, point. Not at all. No, sir, no, sir. And don't talk trash.
Man, we couldn't play checkers, but they would let us play chess. But we couldn't play checkers.
We couldn't play Uno.
You better not breaking cards out. Man.
Man. Yes, sir.
My mom and grandma would go in the back and they would bring them braided switches out.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, stop. Or no. It would be you go get them braided switch.
Man. Because
go out there and give me a switch.
I grew up in southern Mississippi. My grandmama had peach trees in the yard.
Yeah.
And she'd make you skin the park over there so they wouldn't be breaking.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What part of Mississippi?
I grew up in a small town called Lumberton. And then I moved to Picayune, Mississippi, down there close to the Louisiana border, right down Highway 59. Okay. So yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I love your song. I was writing down your other material so that I can make sure I go look those up. And man, I tell you, it's such an inspiration though, because even though it's an urban gospel, it's different. Because right now I find that a lot of artists kind of had the same formula for creating music. How do you continue to be different when everybody else is going one direction?
Yeah. So, man, that's a great question, because it's unintentional. It's unintentional because I just share what the Spirit gives me.
Yeah.
I just share what the inspiration, how the inspiration comes to me. And a lot of it has to do with my influences and what I'm into at that time, or what's going on in the atmosphere during that time. For example, when I initially wrote Give Peace a Chance, it was during COVID, and it was during the time where our atmosphere was or our communities and the news cycles were generated with riots and lootings and shootings and people breaking into stores. You know, it was during the Kyle Rittenhouse time when he was on a murder rampage there, and then he was acquitted. And you know, George Floyd during the time when he was killed, and all of those riots during the Roe versus Wade, you know, overturning of that. So all that's where Give Peace a Chance came out of, because that was a great big inspiration for that song. Because I was actually back in school at that time at the Berklee School of Music, and taking an online course called Writing Hit Songs. Writing Hit Songs, and that song, and so I had a. During that time, there was one week we had a lesson that we had to do, because each week we had to write an original song based on the lesson. And I was taking this course at home and turning around, looking up at the television, you know, and seeing the news about the riots and people breaking in stores, and you know, Asians during that time, because you know, there's a line in the song about all about Asians and you know, and color faces. That's in the song, because during that time Asians were being attacked and killed, and you know, and so all of that stuff was an inspiration for the lyrics or for this particular song. And so where I am and what I write is really just based on what's going on in my life at that time, or because God gives me a lot of my music, or give me a lot of my song and my dreams. I call them dream songs.
Yeah.
Jesus was a dream song. You know, it was a song that God put in my dreams, and I woke up just singing it, and it wouldn't let me go. You know, it's almost, you know, it's like a nagging spouse. So when you're going to clean out the garage, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, so I'm divorced, so I can talk about all that. So, you know, and so that's how it was, how it is with my dream songs, because they come to me, and it's like the Spirit keeps egging me, you know, hey, I need you to finish this song. I need you to work on this song, put some lyrics to this song, put a melody to this song. And so it depends on the inspiration that I get from the Spirit. or the atmosphere or whatever is going on in the world at that time.
Yeah, I mean that's good stuff, man. Because I tell you, being a songwriter, it's difficult because not everybody understands the mental aspect of being a songwriter. If you're not musically inclined or engaged in music the way a songwriter is, we'll drift off in a heartbeat and miss a whole conversation.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on in your head. You know what I'm saying?
In your head, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I drive my wife crazy with that, man. She's bananas sometimes because I'm sitting around and she's talking and all I will hear is, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? I was like, sorry. You know, to the point that where she'll ask me, where were you?
Yeah,
I was like, well, I was thinking about this song. I was thinking about this album I just heard. So there's a lot going on, but I get sure. it, man. But kudos to you, man. I'm glad, man. Thanks. Tell the people if they want this project, how can they find this project?
You can find Give Peace a Chance. You can stream it on Spotify. You can hit it up on YouTube. YouTube already has over 10,000 hits. On YouTube, you can find it on YouTube if you still streaming it. And if you really want to purchase it and download it, that would be so, so cool. You can go to Apple Music, you can go to Amazon Music, and you can download it and purchase it. You can also go to Bandcamp. If you purchase it on Bandcamp, I'm on Bandcamp if you have that, and you can purchase it there. And Jay Will, I'll send you a link to where you can a list of all of the places where your listeners can listen to the song or just download
Absolutely. Or you can tune into Jay Will Gospel Radio, and the song is in rotation on my radio station.
It's in rotation. There you go, yes, sir.
It's in rotation. That.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Who sent me that song? The promoter from Alabama. What's his name? I can't think of dude's name now.
Was it Dallas Frazier?
Yeah, Dallas Frazier sent it to me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas sent it to me. And when I heard it, I was like, ooh. So I stopped what I was doing, came downstairs and fired up the computer and uploaded it to the radio station immediately.
Nice. Wow. Thank you, man.
Yeah, and I've had you featured on a couple of my shows because I do a couple of shows. Really? I do the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, and I also do the Jay Will Gospel Show.
Okay.
Which, you know, and both of those come on. The Unsigned Artist Gospel Show comes on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. But I'm also upload shows on It's All Gospel Radio. That guy lives out of Vegas. So your song is in rotation up there as well.
Nice. Thank you, man. God bless you, Doug. God bless you, man.
Look, man, the least I can do, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, some artists are just so humble and so gracious, but I'm going to be nasty right now, and I'm going to tell y'all, to go to one of these platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, and purchase this music. It's like you can go on Apple and buy the song for 99 cents.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just saying because it takes a lot of money and resources to pull this stuff off.
Yes.
You got to pay the drummer.
Yes, it does.
You got to pay the bass player. You got to pay the keyboardist. If you have people singing, you got to pay the singers. You got to pay for the graphics. You got to pay the producer. You got to pay for the studio time.
Recording the studio. Yep. You got to pay everybody get paid, but the actual songwriter.
And you got to pay to get it released. So,
you got to pay to get it released.
Y'all go download this music. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just so funny because you can, unless you're getting 2 million streams, those royalty checks are not that great.
They're not that great. Yep.
Because, like, And this exactly. is not, I'm not exaggerating, people, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you this, and Brother Rogers will agree with me, some of these platforms will only will pay the artists 0.006%.
Yep, yes, sir.
And you have to have Beyonce streams to make money from these projects. So it helps the artists. Help Brother Edric out. Help me. He's bettering himself. He's got good music. Go to Amazon or Bandcamp, Spotify, download this song. I promise you won't be sorry. So if people want you to come perform, do you have a booking agent or an email address that you want to shoot out right quick so that people know where to find you?
You can send, they can send me an email to LDAWG Music Group, ELDAWG Music Group at gmail.com. And we can work with you on that. So just shoot me an email, and then or send me a message on Facebook or Instagram, and I'll get back with you.
Now, what's your Facebook?
My Facebook is Eldrick Rogers Music.
Eldrick Rogers Music. Y'all go check out that. I'm telling you, y'all won't be sorry. It's got some great music.
Yeah, my Instagram is Eldrick Rogers. My TikTok is Eldrick Rogers. So you'll find all my music out there. My Spotify, you hear all my music on Spotify, the Jesus song, the Walk Around Heaven, Your Touch, all of those songs are on Spotify as well.
Man, that's awesome. So I know you just released this one. Are you working on anything right now that we can anticipate in the future?
Right now, no. So because I just got the Give Peace a Chance completed this year, and it was just released in May, on May 23rd. So it's fresh off the press, as they say. and so my producer is waiting for me to pull something else together to bring to him. So I haven't yet started working on anything else yet, but he's going to be bringing me some opportunities. Well, there is an opportunity to write a choir song. As a choir, we'll be releasing an album this year, later next year. And so I've been asked to write a tune on that project. So right now it's all about getting the message of Give Peace a Chance out there, and and getting people to love it and to buy into it, and so I can present it for Grammys and NAACP awards and all that stuff, and just so I can just minister and just touch the hearts of people all over the world. So that's my goal right now. To answer your question, no, I have not started working on anything else as of yet.
So why do you? This is kind of a rhetorical question, but
yes,
it's kind of an icebreaker and a segue into this conversation. But why do you think people don't like peace? I mean, it's such a simplistic thing to do, you know?
Yeah. Because you have some people, countries, leaders who live and thrive off of confusion. There are people, even in households and families, people just, like they always say, people love to keep up mess. because it's like, it brings attention. Conflict and non-peace situations, it brings attention. I'm thinking about the Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse situation. Look at all the attention it brought him. Look at all the press it brought him. So people don't like peace. People who don't like peace are people who are, I will say, narcissistic type of people. They love attention. They love it to be all about them. If you know somebody in your home, in your family, who just always keeping up conflict and keeping up mess, it's because they're looking for attention. A lot of times they're looking for love. And the only way to get that attention and get that love is to kick up the dust, and kick against the prick, as the Bible talks about, it's just that human nature. Now, as long as there's God and as long as there is peace, there will be the devil and there will be unrest and unpeace because there's a yin and yang, you know, and, you know, there's the good and the bad. And so there's peace and there's confusion. So the Bible talks about, you know, as the world wax cold, we're gonna see more and more of it. So
yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, give peace a chance. But you know, I sit around sometimes and I see some of the stuff going on, and I think the devil is even sitting back laughing, saying, yeah. "I didn't tell him to do that."
Right, exactly.
He, you know,
I'm with you, man. Yeah, I agree.
He telling God, yo, OG, I didn't do that. That ain't me.
That was me, dog.
So it's just, from the beginning of, you know, the biblical theologies, you know, evil and hatred. And yeah. Non-peaceful events have been happening for a long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just amazing how we're supposed to be growing closer to God, but we're still getting more distant from him
because he's
about peace. He's about love. Yeah. Galatians chapter 5, man. Yeah. Galatians right. chapter 5. Right. Love right. peace, joy, happiness. But you know, but instead of you know, we went into the lust of the flesh part,
yeah,
and doing all these other things, but we're not living to, you know, the other part, the love, peace, yeah, joy, exactly. meekness, and temperance.
Yep.
You know,
fruit of the spirit. Yeah,
the fruit of the spirit. It's just amazes me how. Yeah. You know, and the song is so timely because things are getting worse. I say worse, but it's a lot worse during my lifetime, you know, to see this stuff evolving back around to where we were. And so this song is really timely. Give peace a chance, man. Just be peaceful.
Thank you, man. I'm really hoping and praying that it does, you know, reach a large audience. It's already getting so much attention over in Italy. It's getting a lot of attention over in the UK. I'm getting messages on my Facebook from people all around the world, from India, from people who are loving the song, because India is involved in some conflict as well right now. They're talking about bombing people and nuclear war and people over there, even in India. So I'm getting messages, man, from all over the world, from people who just relate to the song and can see how peace is so much needed wherever they are, and that's really was my goal and prayer for the song, that it just really spark peace. Everywhere, all over the world, man. So I'm thankful for you for helping to spread the word and helping to spread that message of peace to everyone, man.
Man, it's the least I can do. I mean, we need to make sure some folks in California get this song.
Ah, man, I was thinking about that today. Oh my God, I was gonna say, who do I know in radio stations in California,
man, those folks are nuts, man. Bro.
Like, man, it's crazy. It is crazy, dude.
We have such a sycophantic look and perception of what peace actually is, because they got the people over in California that are setting cars on fire. You know, setting cars on fire in protest to deportation, and you know, I'm not saying deportation is correct. I'm not saying it's wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying they're having a protest over there and they're setting cars on fire. But then you have Maxine Waters God bless her, who's saying, oh, these people are peaceful. What? How can we categorize setting a car on fire as peaceful?
But it was peaceful. It was peaceful until troops came in. That's when the unrest came. So, but before then, it was pretty peaceful.
Yeah, I was just laughing. I was like, there's like, oh, she said it's peaceful, and as the car's on fire. But to the peaceful point. All kidding aside.
Yes, sir.
It's non-peaceable when you start calling in the National Guard.
Yes. Yeah.
And the reason I'm going.
It's like putting gas on fire. It's going to spark it. It's going to get worse.
It looks like an episode of Let's Go Back to 1965.
Yes.
When the schools were getting integrated, they had the state troopers and the National Guard keeping black people from going to school.
That was before my time, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of history. But I mean, you grew up in the South. The schools in the South were not integrated until 1970.
Oh no. Yep, exactly. You're right.
So, my mother went to a segregated high school, but when I agree, you got people protesting, call in the police, but then when you start calling in the military, you're not really giving peace a chance. So we need to get this on to California. We need to get this song everywhere, wherever you are, download this song. Let's give peace. Let's give peace a chance.
Let's give peace a chance.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So,
I pray the message take hold.
Bruh, we need the message and we need the Holy Ghost to intercede. We need the Spirit of God to come in and intercede with this because this thing is getting ugly. Yeah. I mean, we just celebrated Pentecost Sunday yesterday and they're torching cars today and calling in the military.
Man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, at any rate, if you were going to encourage a young artist.
Man, so I would encourage, I'm so happy you asked that question. That is a very good question, a very important question. I would encourage young artists and young songwriters to study. Look for opportunities where you can sit up under someone. I look for opportunities where you can go to school. Like I took the course there at Berkeley, at writing hit songs. Look for opportunities where you can improve your craft, improve your gift. Don't just rely on your natural talent. There are some people who do have natural talents, and they can do some marvelous things with their natural talents without any additional, learning or studying or schooling. But go to school, man. Take some free classes. There are a lot of free songwriting classes and songwriting tips all over the internet. YouTube, oh my God, YouTube. You can find so many places and where you can get knowledge and information on how to better your songwriting, where you can learn the different styles and the different formats of writing a song. Formats as relate to the verse, verse one, verse two, bridge, chorus, all those things, the style of the music and the chords related to the song you're writing. But I will say study, man. Study, learn your craft. If you are really serious about your craft of writing music and being an artist, study it. Find someone you can work with. And I often say this also, is that everybody don't know everything, all right? There's a saying that says no man is an island, because you may have God may have given you the basic or the foundations for a song or for your writing, right? But you may run across another songwriter that you can collaborate with who can take it to a whole different level. You may be able to connect with, and don't be afraid to collaborate. You may be able to collaborate with a producer who would take your original song of your ideas and original and originality of the song and take that song to a whole different level because of their level of experience, because their level of knowledge and the people that they've worked with. So don't be afraid to collaborate with people who are greater than you or have done more than you. And like I said, study. If you can come up with create a great basics for a song and where it can stand on its own, but then to have someone come along and just take it to a whole different atmosphere, that would be a very great thing. So that's what I would do. I would tell someone coming up or someone aspiring to be songwriter or artist to study and don't be afraid to work or collaborate with other people who are doing great things.
Yeah, I mean, that's great advice. It's great advice. I know sometimes it's kind of difficult to find people that are willing to take construction criticism.
Yes.
And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen,
it is. You have to have thick skin.
And, you know, everything is not designed to make you look like a failure. Some things are designed to help you because they have more experience.
Yes,
I get that.
And I dealt with that. And I dealt with that. That was a struggle that I had in the beginning of my songwriting, is to let someone else come in and either co-write or bring in their level and expertise and for me to step back and allow it. You know, because it's your baby. It's almost like raising a child. It's like having a child in your family. All right, you're not going to just let anybody come in and just raise your child and tell your child what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the same. It's the same way it is with the song or with writing and music. You know, it's your baby, something that you birthed. At some point, you have to let that child go and go off to kindergarten. You know, and then go off to college. You know, at one point you have to let that child go so they can get married, you know, and have children of his own, you know, that's the same way I see it with music.
Yeah, I mean, I see it a lot, you know. I mean, I've had to talk to people about some music stuff, but I always try to do it in a way to where it doesn't insult them or crush them. There's a way to talk to people.
Yes.
You know what
yes,
I'm saying? Yes. It's if you're truly trying to help, because
of course,
I consider myself being an alpha male. I ain't no beta. You know what I'm saying?
I can tell, brother. Yes.
You come to me the wrong way. I don't care if I could be dead wrong, and we get ready to fight because you're not gonna strip my manhood. You know what I'm saying? I've been do that, but. We need to be helpers of one another.
One to another, yes.
We need to be helpers one to another.
But you know something? But you know something? Can I interject for a minute?
Yes, sir.
If I can interject and say this, protect your music, protect yourself, protect your baby, right? Which means make sure that your music is copyrighted before you share it with anybody.
Say that again.
Before you share your baby with anybody, make sure you copyright your music. All right, protect your music, protect your baby, because there are some shysters out there. There are some people out there who's out to get what you got, especially if it's good. And if you have not done your due diligence, and if you have not done your job and making sure that your material, your music, your writing, your lyrics, your script, your book, whatever it is, make sure that it's copyrighted before you share it with anybody. Then, when other people come in, they can enhance what you already have. But by the love of God, please go copyright your stuff and get it, protect your music, protect your songwriting, and protect your artistry before you allow other people to come in to put their hands on it. Because if not, you know, they would take it.
That is wonderful advice. That is a wonderful, and I do that every time. If before I send my track to a bass player or a drummer, it's already copyrighted. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, get you an account with the Library of Congress and pay your $65 and get that song copyrighted. And don't do it as a collection.
Yes.
Do each individual song.
Yeah. Don't do it as a collection. Yes.
Because if somebody wants to buy that song, now you got to sell them the whole catalog.
Yeah.
When they just
you got to sell them the whole catalog. When they just want the one song. Yes, sir.
They just want the one song, man.
Yeah. I'm actually getting ready to start teaching in July. I've been tapped on the shoulder to teach at the Cornerstone Christian University. They are adding a gospel music division to their school, and I actually will become Professor Rogers pretty soon, teaching the business of music at the university. Yep, I'll be teaching the business of music. I'll be teaching the history of gospel music, how it went from jazz music and transitioned into gospel, and I'll be teaching copywriting. How to copyright and the importance of copyrighting music. I'll be teaching on music agreements and contracts, the importance of getting these contracts when you do collaborative work with other songwriters and with producers and record labels and all this stuff. And then I'll be teaching on the dynamics of music publishing and how to get your money and making sure that you do what you need to do to get paid in music. So I'll be doing that pretty soon.
I tell you what, whenever you start, I know you, Professor Rogers, I know you're going to be busy. I already know you're going to be super busy. But I think that this is an area that a lot of artists need to know about. And once you start teaching your class, holler at your boy. If you can remember little old J. Will.
Okay, I will.
Holler at me. We could do some podcasts on some of your classes.
Okay. No, man. Doc, that would be a blessing, Doc. That would be a great, man. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to, I'm not asking. I mean, you know.
No. No, man, that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah. When you give your students their syllabus, email me a copy of it so I know where we are. Okay. So when you start to talk about this stuff, then I can at least have some talking points.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I think this will work out great, man, because you know, I'm all about getting information to people. And what better way to get information to people from Professor Rogers talking about copyright laws?
I love sharing knowledge, man. I love sharing knowledge and information. Because I struggle. Yeah. I've been through those things that I teach about the do's and the don'ts. I've been through that stuff. And I love sharing it.
Yeah. I mean, because I did a podcast with Professor John Fountain in Chicago. Okay. And he teaches at one of the universities a writing class. This guy is an accomplished writer. He's an article writer, writes newspapers. He worked for Chicago Times and stuff like that. But he teaches a writing class on a collegiate level. And he was such an inspiration to talk to help me understand more about writing, you know. And, you know, we can all need a remedial class. When I was in college, I took a writing class. But to hear residual information coming from the professors, I know some professors, y'all. J. Will knows professors. But you know, I really appreciate you, and I look forward.
Thank you for the invite, man.
Oh yeah, anytime. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, go out and download this music. You have several to choose from: Eldrick Rogers, Your Touch, Walk Around Heaven. We have Jesus, and we have Give Peace a Chance. go out and find his music, and you need to email him because you're going to want to take his class. You want to take this class because you need to know the do's and don'ts. You need to know what to do, how to do it, how to do contracts, how to set up your your musical portfolio, how to get your copyrights and stuff done. This is a man to know. Shoot him your email address one more time, Professor.
So you can, my email address is LDAWG Music Group, ELDAWG Music Group, LDAWG Music Group at gmail.com.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor.
That's not the professional. That's not the professional one for the school.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going to need that one. Once you start at the school, we're going to need that one. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. A1C, blood pressure, cholesterol, all that good stuff. And get some life insurance.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Yeah. Don't leave your family strapped in case something happens to you. There's a lot of people that love chicken dinners, but we're tired of selling chicken dinners and getting these GoFundMes to pay for your funeral. Get some life insurance. If you don't know some people, I know some people that can help you out. I know people all over the place that sell life insurance. All right. Until the next time, don't hang up. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more after we hang up. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make... Oh, wait a minute. Go to your Play Store on your phone. It's a free download. Download the Live 365 app and type in J. Will Gospel Radio. And you can listen to good gospel music 24/7, 7 days a week. You can hear... Professor Rogers' music on there, give peace a chance. And pretty soon you're going to hear some more of his music on there. And if you're an inspiring artist and you want your music potentially uploaded on my station, or you want it on the J. Will Gospel Show or the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, email me at LeeWill@gmail.com. LeeWill@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate to this podcast, you can support this podcast via Cash App at hashtag $ J Will Podcast, or via the donate feature on the RSS homepage. Follow my music page, James Williams Music, on Facebook. And now, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace. And be careful out there.